Morning, everyone.
Morning.
First, before I start my lesson, I want to thank everyone for their prayers on behalf of my wife and I both. boy, did I take a fall 2 weeks ago, Sunday morning. And that was the worst fall I can ever remember having. And I've taken a couple of them. But anyway, I'm feeling wonderful today. My wife is really not doing well at all. She is in just a lot of pain with her damaged nerve in her back. And, well, I'll just leave it at that. She's in a lot of pain and she's can't move the way you'd normally like to move. So, anyway, very debilitating. And before I begin, I want to say I'm really sorry. I have to apologize for this. I did this lesson, it was a while ago, and it was called War. And I have it on DVD, and I watched it at home. And I did an awful job on that. And so since then, I've been working on it. I've renamed it. I've revamped the whole thing. And I'm going to do a much better job this time. I worked on this for months. I've been working on this. Anyway, in Matthew chapter 24, verses 5 and 11. Jesus tells us that Jesus tells us in verse 5, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. In verse 11, he pretty much repeats that. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Now, Jesus is here is referring to the destruction of Jerusalem for the most part. However, I think this is one of these universal truths. This is something that is true when Jesus said it and for the time until he comes back again. If you go to 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that is coming, and now is already in the world. The first thing I want to note and make note of this is many. Many false Christs, many false messiahs, many false prophets, many will come, and they will deceive many. It's not a few or some or half. It's many. Many will come and will deceive many. Both Jesus and John make this very clear. God, the Holy Spirit, is in you, unless you have been deceived by many of these false prophets and false messiahs. And I want to add that these false prophets, false messiahs, false Christ are in the world. Okay? Now, sometimes they work their way into the churches, yes? We've seen it. We've heard it. If you have been deceived by these false Christ, false prophets, then it is not God who is in you. Make note of that. Many will be deceived by the many. I want to make note quickly, first of all, again, or second of all, I should say. Have you ever noticed about prayer? How so many people, you know, the deceivers, or those that have been deceived, or those that are deceiving, they're deathly afraid of prayer. You don't believe me? How many times do you see people stopped? There was that fella, I think he was a Jewish fella, but anyway, it was a fella outside an abortion clinic. They arrested him. He was silently praying. He wasn't praying out loud. He was silently praying outside an abortion clinic, and they arrested him. Now, that tells me that they, and there's many other examples we can use about prayer. I mean, how often do these people try to stop us from praying? And even in the houses of prayer, which I'm going to get to in a few minutes, they are frightened. They are scared to death of prayer. Because sometimes they believe in the power of prayer more so than we do sometimes. My lesson is on the war on Christ. This is a 2,000-year-old war. This started a long time ago. This didn't start with us. Jesus, John, and others all say, "Marvel not if the world hates you, for it has hated him first." You might ask yourself, war? What war? I don't know if you've ever seen the Hobbit movies, but Aragorn answers the statement from the King of Rohan. I can't remember his name offhand. But anyway, he says to him, "I will not risk open war." And Aragorn answers with, "Open war is upon you, whether you risk it or not." Well, you know, a lot of times we have to face the facts. We're at war. Now, you may not consider yourself at war, but let me tell you something. They are at war with you. Whether you want to accept that or not, that's up to you. If that's not true, why does Paul tell us to prepare for war? In Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10, he tells us to prepare for war. And how are we to prepare for war? By putting on the armor of God. I don't know how you are planning to fight this war, but the only way I know is the way Paul tells me, and that is put on the armor of God. And mind you, it's not your armor, it's his. Now, are you standing firm in the faith? And if you are, Are you preparing for war? Can you say that you're standing firm in the faith without preparing for war? Our struggle is, according to Ephesians chapter 5, I think it is, verse 11. Let me look real quick. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11. I'm right past it. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. Now, who are them? Well, they are the ones that are deceiving. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 7, we're told to put on the full armor of God. Verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist evil in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Once again, I ask you, are you standing firm? And if you're standing firm in the faith, according to Paul here, stand firm, therefore, verse 14, having girded your loins and with the breast, or with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition, take up the shield of faith, for which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, I don't think we can do much good without any of these things. You just can't. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, where verses 1 through 10, we're told there's a time for this and a time for that. And what do we know? There's a time for war and there's a time for peace. Did you know that there was war in heaven? That's what we're told. I think of the 1970s, and I don't know if any of you remember this. Some of you may. The radical perverts removed all the street preachers. I don't know if you remember, but in Philadelphia, where my wife worked in Center City, Philadelphia, 18th and Market. And there were street preachers. Every corner of the city you could find them in the 1970s. Somehow these radical deviants came up with this citing and a religious harassment law. And all the street preachers vanished. They all disappeared. I haven't seen any since. Turns out, there was never any law put into effect. This was the same thing that happened in 2020, where the Because my wife and I were duped by that. We thought that there was a religious harassment law. Fought that for many years. Never was. But they were effective in removing all the street preachers. In 2020, there was another law allegedly put into effect. Mandatory mask wearing and lockdowns. I spoke about this a while ago. And none of this was legal, but the lockdowns happened and everybody was wearing a mask. And by the way, does anybody remember what happened in 2020? We were just going to do the curve, remember? 2 weeks. It was only going to be 2 weeks, the lockdowns and the mask wearing. Here we are 3 years later. We still have hospitals and medical centers and other places that are mask wearing, all this other kind of thing. The reason I bring that up is because these things are about churches. They want to lock down the church. You can burn a church down, you just can't worship in one. All these things that these people now are doing is setting at odds us, one against the other. If you're not vaccinated, do you know you're killing your neighbors and your coworkers? They say that, don't they? Again, I bring these things up because this is about one thing. This is about to stop. Did you know that the so-called doctor that was ahead of all this, did you know in 2020, of March 2020, he said masks do nothing to keep you or others protected from a virus, any virus? It's on video. In 1986, those of you who remember that, if we didn't do something soon, 200 to 400 million people will die of AIDS, because the AIDS virus was going to jump from the homosexual community over to the heterosexual community. Now that is hard to find. You have to really search to find that. But that was downgraded or downward revised downward to a soft estimate between 2 and 3 million within a 5-10 year period. That was in 1986, he said that. Well, in 2001, some 15 years later, there was 448,000 deaths due to AIDS. Not even 500,000. Now, why do I bring that up? Well, look at chapter 13 of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 13. And let's start with verse 1. If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder comes true concerning which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods whom you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of this prophet or that prophet or the dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you. Now, again, I think this is one of those universal truths. This is a truth that God tests us and our faith to see if we will remain faithful to him. To find out if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. You shall follow the Lord your God and fear him, and you shall keep his commandments, listen to his voice, serve him, and cling to him. And then he says about the prophet, that prophet should be put to death. I bring that up because of what? Has the Lord tested us with all these things? I ask you this. How many, and I was just talking to one of you about this recently, just a few days ago. That how many of the churches of Christ do we know that are still doing worship, the Lord's Supper, and whatever else over Zoom? Now, I don't know about you, but that disturbs me. You know, I don't know if I should even talk about that, but this state of emergency, this HHS secretary, Xavier Becerra, do you know they're still exploring? We are constantly exploring additional actions that we can take to protect and expand access to reproductive health care, including abortion care, and prioritizing the actions that can give us the highest impact and most durable solutions. During the lockdowns, does anybody know what was still open? The marijuana clinics and abortion clinics were still open. How do we discern these things? How do we answer the test? If they are a test, which I believe they are, I think these things test our faith in Christ. Scott mentioned in a Wednesday night Bible study the Satanic Grammys, who, by the way, was sponsored by no other than Pfizer. If you're not vaccinated, you're killing people. Do not forget, when these prophecies of these so-called prophets do not come to fruition or tell us to go after other gods, other forms of worship, prayer, singing, partaking of the Lord's Supper, what are we to do? How do we use our discernment? Do we continue listening to them? Are the congregations that have changed the way they worship because of what many men have said? Again, Deuteronomy chapter 13. Can it be argued, this is my last point, Can it be argued that there is more lawlessness today than there may have been in our lifetime? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 through 12, Paul there mentions about the lawlessness. And in Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, which I'm going to read that. Matthew chapter 24, yeah, verse 12. Okay. Oh, there. Right. Okay. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. What's Jesus talking about there? The love. Well, in the Greek, affection, benevolence, a love feast. Feast of charity and dear, as in dear one, dear Jeff, dear Tim. Do we have this selfless love for one another as Jesus loved us? Do we pray for one another? For those who have fallen away? For those that are weak? Do we pray for the lost in the world? Do we pray for those who persecute us? In Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 in verse 10, blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And in verse 44, Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. I have to be very honest with you. Sometimes it's very difficult for me to pray for these people who constantly are attacking us. I don't say I don't, because I do, but I find it very difficult sometimes. I must be honest with you. In the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This war is very difficult sometimes. And again, this is a 2,000-year-old war. In John chapter 21, starting with verse 15, Jesus and Peter have that conversation. Jesus keeps asking Peter, do you love me? Well, what Jesus is asking is, do you agape me? Peter answers, yes, I philo you. Agape being godly love, philo being brotherly love. When Jesus asks us, do you love me? How do we answer? Are we going to be, as Revelation chapter 2, verse 10 says, be faithful unto death? Because Jesus says something to us there. He promises us the crown of life. Be faithful unto death. And being faithful is being prepared for this war. And again, I urge you to consider these words. They are at war with you, whether you think you're at war with them or not. Just push stop, Dave.
Yeah, that'd be fine.